The week ahead of us will be full of celebrations, won't it? Parades, picnics, fireworks displays, they will dot our country's landscape as we celebrate this week our nation's Day of Independence, our nation's birthday. My family, perhaps like yours, will be headed to the beach for a couple days. Some of you will have a cookout with family and friends. Some of you perhaps will head over to the Diamond to catch a ball game and maybe that great fireworks display. Or if you're a cheapskate like my father was, you'll just drive over to the parking lot after the parking attendant has fallen asleep and watch the fireworks that way. It had sort of become a tradition in the Glaze household. Yes, we love to celebrate the 4th of July. And for good reasons, because as residents of the United States, we have so much to be grateful for, don't we? We're truly a blessed people. And those who recognize that are ones who truly know what Independence Day is all about. So with the celebrations of this week on our mind and in our hearts, I want to ask you, how should we act today? How should we act in this place, in this sanctuary of God? Indeed, how should we act every day toward our nation? Yes, as Americans, but also as Christians. Freedom is the word that we often use to associate our experience as persons living in this nation. But it's helpful to understand, I think, that even long before our nation was even a thought, freedom was a biblical word. Our Jewish ancestors recognized that a hallmark of their faith was God leading them from slavery to freedom. Much later, the earliest Christians often described their experience of God's salvation in Christ as a passage from slavery to freedom. This theme runs throughout the New Testament, but especially in Paul's letters, this idea of freedom as salvation from, as salvation in Christ being a passage from slavery to freedom, I'll get it out sooner or later, is especially prominent in those letters of Paul. And we see it on remarkable display in Paul's letter to those Christians living in Galatia, a portion of which Megan just read for us. So prominent is this theme of freedom in Galatians that this book has often been called the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. So I'd like for us today to think about the implications of what Paul has to say about freedom. Freedom we have as citizens of our nation and as citizens of the kingdom of God. As you're thinking about that, let me speak for myself. For me, today is not the easiest day to preach. For some of my fellow pastors, this is not so. For in some churches today, every hymn will be patriotic. A color guard will march down the aisle with the American flag, and the congregation will rise to sing the national anthem. The sermon in these churches will likely focus upon our being a Christian nation, whatever that even means. And I have to say, I've been to one or two of those worship services. Maybe you have as well. And I've often wondered whether the people in those worship services are worshiping God or the United States. Moreover, I've wondered whether a Christian from another nation would feel welcome in that worship service. And I'll never forget, it was about 10 years ago. A dear friend of mine, member of my previous church, was telling me a story. See, he was home on leave from a rather extensive tour during the war in Afghanistan. And during leave, he had taken his family to the beach, and they were worshiping at a church near their vacation home. It happened to be the Sunday before the 4th of July, just like today. Went to church, and he was telling me about the sermon that day. The preacher was saying that it was extolling all the virtues of America and was describing how God had blessed us above every other nation and that God had appointed us to be the wealthiest and most powerful nation in the world. The service concluded with the choir singing a rousing anthem, and just as the music hit the crescendo, the doors of the baptistry opened and a woman appeared in full costume and makeup, dressed like the Statue of Liberty. I'm not making this up. The music concluded and everyone rose to their feet, applauding and waving these little American flags that they had been given. My friend remarked as he watched all this that he felt a tightness in his chest. He said the discomfort with all this was not a lack of patriotism. For heaven's sake, he was a major in the U.S. Army during a time of war. But he later told me, he said, "Daniel, Monday through Saturday, I give everything I can to the United States of America. Sunday morning, I want to worship God." Is he right? What do you think about that? As you ponder this, as you ponder how you feel about the relationship of patriotism and the Christian faith, let me draw your attention back to this letter from Galatians. Paul, as I said, is speaking about the matter of freedom. He writes of how by faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are set free. And how we as Christians are to live within that freedom. So as we celebrate our personal and national freedom this week, I think we should remember that we are first and foremost children of God. And that only Jesus Christ is our Lord. Now let me say right here that I consider myself very patriotic. I'm grateful for my citizenship. I'm proud of my two siblings and their spouses, all West Point graduates, and among them 9 tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. I still get a lump in my throat whenever I hear an excellent rendition of the national anthem. But the truth is this: despite my deep love for my country, God calls me and God calls you to place our loyalty to Christ above everything else, including our love of country. In other words, we may be proud citizens of the United States, but we belong to Jesus. And it's precisely because we belong to Jesus that I can say that I am hopeful for our nation. But for our hope to become a reality, we have to be honest about ourselves, about our motives and our policies, We must recognize that we do some incredibly wonderful things, but also there are some times that we do some things that aren't so noble and just. It's not unpatriotic to say so, it's being honest. This honest patriotism, we might call it, has recently caused many persons, especially persons of faith, to rightfully be horrified about reports of family separations and inhumane conditions at overcrowded and underfunded detention centers near our southern border. And we've heard Christians of all stripes, from progressive leaders to very conservative ones within the Southern Baptist Convention, they've said that we as a nation can do better for persons fleeing their homelands. We can do better, for we cannot deprive them of their right to safety, to security, to family, to sanitary conditions. Why? Because they are human beings. Because just like me, they're made in the image of God. My blood pressure rises at all of this, not because I hate my nation, heavens no, but because I dearly love her. And I know the good we can do and the love we can share and the grace we can model for this world. And I love my nation enough, and I hope you do too, to be honest about those times when we believe that we are falling short of our ideals of freedom and liberty for all. And let's be clear. The idea that we sometimes fall short really shouldn't be surprising to us. Because the Bible says that as individuals, we all do some crooked things sometimes. Put us together as a nation, we continue to do that, to be broken and sinful people. So as residents of our land, I think we ought to love our country. I think we ought to thank God for the freedoms that we enjoy. Because I believe that we are incredibly blessed to live where we live. But we also must use that freedom responsibly. To call out leaders and policies that we believe are contrary to our ideals, not because we don't love our country, but because we do. And while we're at it, I don't think it hurts to be reminded that the Bible insists that God measures the worth of our nation not by our wealth and power, but by our justice and our righteousness, how we treat the poor, the lonely among us. Why? Because we belong to Jesus. And these are the values Jesus taught us. Sometimes following Jesus causes us to use our freedom on behalf of others. Paul, I think, makes this point in this letter to Galatians. Our freedom, Paul says, it obligates us to serve others. Paul writes, "Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. Rather, through love, become servants to one another." In other words, Christ has freed us to love and serve this world, especially those who are weak and poor and powerless. This idea is so essential to Paul and so important that he sounds redundant. For what does he say? "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Sounds redundant, doesn't it? But Paul here is making a point, I believe. Paul understands that through Christ, we're free to live as God wants us to live. Because Christ, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the power to live righteously, to live a life that reflects the character of God, and especially to live a life of service to others. I love what he says. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And thank God for that. If you're like me, you sometimes feel like you're a resident of two kingdoms. The nation in which we live, but also the kingdom of God. As your pastor, it is not my job to tell you who to vote for. If I do that, you ought to fire me. But it is my job to remind you to pray for our nation and our elected leaders. And it's my job to remind you that our faith in Christ Jesus takes a back seat to nothing. That means we ought to be proud citizens. That means we ought to be grateful for our freedom. But it also means that as children of God, we must not forget that our true freedom comes from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone is our Lord. The freedom Christ gives us, that freedom compels us to give our lives away in service to God and God's beloved children. Amen.